Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back. Another edition of No Bets Barred. This time, UFC Apex 77. Holly Holm taking on Mayra Buena Silva. We go from, in retrospect, what could be the card of the year to beforehand. If it isn't the card of the year, it will be a massive letdown. Big scenes in Las Vegas this weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, let's start here. Not even a question. UFC 290 is the card of the year. It is, frankly, the card of the last several years. So just an unbelievable weekend. And like John Anik said on the broadcast, you know, nothing but respect for John Anik, and everything he said is true, and that the hits just keep on coming. Connor, the hits, they're here. It's going to be amazing. Uncrowned title fight, like the vacant women's bantamweight title up for grabs. How are we feeling about that?
I don't know. I feel like this is the women's bantamweight interim title.
Oh, I think that this is just the fake. Like we should be just making this the title fight. I think the UFC should have done that as soon as Nunes retired. It's been like, hey, they're fighting already. Let's go for it. Might as well. Couple of people on a win streak. One of them's a champion, a former champion. The winner of this can fight, Juliana Pena or whoever they decide. But either way, I'm going to call this person the best female bantamweight in the world at the end of Saturday.
All right. I like that you're going to give them that title. Going back to UFC 290, fantastic card. Domination from Volk. Unbelievable war between Pantoja and Moreno. DDP, huge knockout.
My guy.
Incredible stuff from him. Your guy. And I personally am very much looking forward to his fight with Izzy, especially after Saturday night. He was impressive, man, and people can keep doubting him, but the way that he talks about that Izzy fight, how he's like, he's going to bring the fight to him, he's going to get the hands on him, he's going to manhandle him. I'm very interested to see how that one is going to go.
Yeah, I think everyone is at this point. I remember I remember DDP's most recent win, right? So before Whitaker, he beats up Derek Brunson, and it's a back and forthy fight. At some points, he kind of looks like maybe he's gassing. That's sort of DDP's MO in general. But I remember after the Brunson one in March, I was just like, that's the guy. Let's just do it right now. And I got a lot of pushback. Nobody was that into it. None of that anymore. You beat Robert Whitaker. You beat him like that. You do something that only basically Israel Adesanya has done before. Everybody's all in on this fight. My great hope is that it doesn't happen in Australia. It's just too quick of a turnaround for DDP, in my opinion. let's give this the full build. If Izzy has to fight in Australia, he can fight somebody else. You know, that's fine. He can do the Sean Strickland or whatever. But I think these two guys are on a collision course and everybody is pumped about it.
For me, don't do a fight in between Izzy and DDP. Like, whether it's making
that's
Izzy
where
weight,
I would
like,
be as well.
Like, do not make him fight Strickland in Australia. That would kill anything. Like, I have my heart set, and I think everyone does, and I think Izzy does too, has his heart set on the DDP matchup.
I mean, that's where I'd be as well. But, you know, sometimes they just put business ahead of reason and logic. It's like, well, we got to have somebody to headline this Australia card. Nobody else is really available. And so I agree. It would be a big letdown. But either way, these two dudes will fight.
The banana peels. Sean Strickland upsets Izzy.
That would be quite funny if Sean Strickland was the banana peel in this situation.
Because then DDP is going to want to fight Sean Strickland. I don't think DDP much, like, he's building the fight and he's making this a rivalry, but like, he wants the belt. I don't think he really cares whether it comes off of Izzy's waist or Sean Strickland's waist.
Absolutely. It would be so MMA of, hey, we've got this clear rivalry building. And then all of us fans are like, Robert Whittaker's just going to screw this up. You're making DDP fight him. It's going to go to crap. And in fact, DDP beats Whittaker, but somehow Sean Strickland is the one that screws up this rivalry by beating Israel Adesanya. So I'm with you 100%. Like, I would not choose to do it. I think that there's a possibility of it happening because the machine marches on forever with the UFC. So that's my big hope, is that it won't, that we get that. Because, I mean, coming out of 290, I think the biggest storyline is Jerkis Duplessis versus Israel Adesanya. It's that or Robbie Lawler, but I mean, he turned some heads on Saturday, that's for sure.
You mentioned the Robbie Lawler retirement, fantastic moment. Then we had Dan Hooker, dog. Then we had Bo Nickel showing the hands.
Man, Bo Nickel looks good, huh?
Oh God, looks great. And then Denise Gomes. My opinion, a moment of the night.
Yeah, real. Four sub 1 minute KOs, modern UFC record. Just what a night of fights, dude. God, I wish that was every weekend.
What a night of fights. Winning week, correct?
Winning week. I ended up, as you loyal listeners know, I was banking on Yair to do something. That wasn't even close to ever happening. But big, you know, the big bets on DDP and Lawler at pretty healthy underdog odds get me over the hump, just a little over one unit on the week, and love a W. Always love a W.
Love a W. I got a very small win, but a win nonetheless. Shout out to Pantoja for that one. So we move forward to UFC Apex 77 with bright eyes, 14 fights from the world's most famous arena. World's most famous warehouse adjacent to a company's headquarters. And we start with the main event. Women's bantamweight bout. You're saying the vacant women's bantamweight title. Holly Holm taking on Mayra Buena Silva. And right now, Holly Holm is the favorite at minus 170. Mayra Buena Silva coming back at plus 145. Do you have any action down on the main event?
I have action down. Do you have action down on the main event?
I do not. I am clean on the main event.
Wow, look at you being clean on the main event. So I'm working on a parlay. I don't have all the pieces or kind of, I'm still sorting through things. The Seberg special here, the over 1.5 in the main event feels like that's probably a good parlay piece given what Holly Holm has been known to do lately. But my only
concern
action,
is Mayra Buena Silva.
I don't. Are you concerned that she might finish Holly Holm on under 7 minutes, or that she would get finished?
It's the arm bars. No, it's the arm bars that I fear for.
I mean, it wouldn't be impossible, but I'm back in Holly Holm in this one. I got her at the price of minus 155, so a little bit better than you're seeing out there right now. for a couple of reasons. The main one is, like, I won't be super shocked if Marbrina Silva wins. She's looked really good since moving back up to bantamweight, but. And look, she's shown some good effort, right? Like, she's a committed body attacker, kicks the legs a bunch. Those are both good things. But I can't get the Manon Fiore fight out of my head for MBS. And because it, in a lot of ways, I sort of view Manon Fiore as just like a smaller, smaller Holly Holm, I guess. Like, her game feels similar in a lot of respects. I think Holly Holm... Look, she's probably not the fighter. She's probably not at the peak of her powers, but I think she is still a good enough range striker to probably just win the fight on the feet if it was contested there the entire time. But moreover, I don't think MBS is really going to be getting takedowns. In the clinch, I've actually really been impressed by the elbows and knees from MBS, but Holly Holm is just this like smothering clinch fighter lately. She'll just get double underhooks and just kind of physically dominate you around. And MBS, I don't think, can stand up to the physicality of Holm, certainly in those close quarters. I think Holm can get takedowns, and I'm not all that concerned about the, you know, as you put it, the arm bars and the submission thrown off her back. I don't think Holm has to get takedowns. I just think she can sort of just, at this point, do a Holly Holm performance. It's who she's been for the last few years. I think she can do that to MBS, and at minus 155, I like the price.
I kind of want to add the over 1.5 to a parlay. I've got it available right here at minus 475. That feels very reminiscent to the Brandon Moreno, Alejandre Pantoja. And Holly Holm, 10 of her last 11 have gone over the 1.5. I mean, I have a prop parlay that I very much like, so maybe I'll just leave that out there and just not even sweat it. But yeah, I think I'm with you. I think Holly Holm wins this fight. I guess the thing keeping me away is I've been burned on Holly Holm fights before. Like, it is probably going to go to a decision. There might be like some competitiveness about it, and I just like can't really trust these judges. But I do think Holly Holm's going to win.
I understand. Like, I can't blame you for not wanting to put your hard-earned American dollars on Holly Holm, who is not. I mean, she has won, and you know. Most recently, the Yano Santos fight, like, I thought that maybe she would slow down or whatever, and then she just pretty clearly won that fight, even though it was not spectacular. And that's the thing. When was the last spectacular Holly Holm win? It's Becchiahea. Like, that's the last, like, really good Holly Holm win. The rest of them have just been sort of grinds.
Man. And that Becchiahea was now over 6 years ago.
It was a long time. Long time ago. And Becchiahea wasn't even good then, so it's like, it's tough. It's a tough hang.
Tough hang is this entire card. Let's keep it rolling. Let's go to the co-main event of the evening, middleweight bout.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Albert Drive taking on Joon-young Park. The Iron Turtle doesn't get bigger than this when it comes to making co-main events. Right now, the Iron Turtle minus 150. Duraev coming back plus 130. Any action down on the second to last fight of the night?
I don't. But speaking of Tough Hang, your Tough Hang co-host, my friend and colleague, Mr. A.K. Lee would call this fight a penultimate fight. I don't think this is a co-main event in any regard. And this fight really speaks to how I view this card because it's not a bad fight. There's like a piece of me that is genuinely interested in this, but this is the sort of fight that, like, in my head and in a perfect world is, ooh, that's a fun sort of complimentary prelim fight on a fight night card. Like, oh, okay, well, so we've got a couple of marquee ones. We've got some ranked guys, names jumping out. And then this will also be like a sneaky fun fight. This entire card is comprised of sneaky fun fights and then trash. So it's just a tough one. I think Duraev is going to win this fight, but I don't have any real level of confidence in it. One, Joon-young Park has sort of continued to exceed expectations. Just scrappy, really fun guy, well-rounded, not great at anything. Duraev, I think, is a good enough wrestler to sort of probably win those positions if he needs to and chooses to. And on the feet, he's just a little more athletic, a little quicker, I think. I can't bet him in one part because he's an Akhmad MMA guy and I'm just not going to support him for that. But I don't even feel massively comfortable, particularly with how Joon-young Park has sort of overachieved in spots. So if I'm picking just straight up, I think Duraev wins it, but no action.
So I actually will be taking a dog shot on Albert Duraev for a lot of the things that you said. I'm pretty confident in his wrestling and grappling in this situation. I think Joon-young Park, you talk about exceeding expectations. I also look back at his last few fights. The level of competition that he's going against isn't the most impressive in the world. You know, a Dennis Tallulah, a Jamie Holmes, and who was it before that? Eric Anders. So the level of competition isn't wowing me. And his strengths that he's been able to get it done, the wrestling and the grappling, I don't think he's going to be able to do that here. I think he's going to push a pace. I don't think he has a ton of power, and I think he's going to force Duraev to go to his wrestling. Sometimes it feels like he strikes a little bit too much when he has that wrestling and grappling advantage, and I think he's going to go to that wrestling and grappling. He's going to have success, and I think he can get this done. I like him at the plus money. I took him at plus 135.
Yeah, like I said, if I'm picking him, just straight up, I'd pick him, but not going to take the bet, but I think that is the value line for sure.
All right, we keep it rolling to a heavyweight bout. Walt Harris, the return, taking on Josh Parisian right now. Right now, you can have Walt Harris for minus 165, Parisian coming back at plus 140. I got nothing on this. At one point, I think Walt Harris was like a minus 220. I would have absolutely been on Parisian at that price, but I missed that. Don't think the old big ticket should be a minus 200 against just about anyone, even if it is Josh Parisian. At the end of the day, I'm staying away.
Do you say that because he hasn't won a fight in like 4 years? Is that why you're saying that?
Yeah, hasn't won a fight in 4 years and has been knocked out 3 straight times.
Very true. You say this. Well, first, let's start. This is a heavyweight contest, so I will absolutely be taking the heavyweight over. It's over 1.5. The line's minus 110, lined pretty evenly. Gotta say, frankly, love the price because Walt Harris, not really a heavyweight over guy. He's about 50-50 when it comes to hitting over 1.5s in his UFC career. 7 of 15 have hit over. Josh Parisian, just a stalwart of heavyweight over nation. 4 of his 5 UFC fights have gone over 2.5, and all 5 have hit over 1.5. This man is going to give you close to 15 minutes of action for your money, which is what we love to see here. So particularly you think, hey, man, Josh Parisian probably at least is maybe slightly undervalued because of that. Great, because Josh Parisian isn't getting anybody out of there quickly. It's just not what he does. I am also adding a second bet here, and it's...
Wow, two bets on this.
I'm going to be... Well, I have to do the heavyweight over. I don't have this other bet down because I don't have the price available. And it's insane, but I'm doing it. I think this is a setup fight. I think they're trying to get Walt Harris to win. Walt Harris has not won since the tragedy that happened to his family. In his defense, since that time, he's fought Alistair Overeem, Alexander Volkov, and Marcin Tybura. Those were all like top 15-ish dudes at the time. This is a huge step back for him. Yes, it's going to be 2 years since he has fought, but Josh Parisian isn't very good. And I don't know that Walt Harris is good, but he is powerful. He is going to have a huge athletic advantage in this fight. And I think that he can get this done. And when Walt Harris wins, it is by knockout. He has 13 career wins. All of them are by knockout. The man is not going to submit you. He is not going to go to decision. He's not going to lay and pray you. So I'm going to take a bet on Walt Harris by KO/TKO whenever I find that line available somewhere to me. Considering Walt Harris, you know, is currently looking at minus 165, I bet his by KO/TKO is like minus 150, but I'm still going to take it.
No, it's available at a book right now for plus 110.
If it's plus money, 1,000% I'm taking it. All 13 of his career wins have been by KO.
Yeah, that's actually pretty interesting. That,
the number should basically be the same as his straight up odds.
Yeah, he's kind of like the knockoff in Ngannou. Just
very much
literally only wins by knockout. 6-9 so, in the UFC.
Yeah, just and on a 3-fight losing streak, hasn't won in like 4 years. A lot of bad things. I get it. Is it smart to have two bets on a heavyweight fight between low level heavyweights?
No.
It sure is not. But that's what you come to no bets for. You think this is the dumbest bet I'm making this week, just wait till we get to the prelims.
Wait till we get to the next fight. Women's featherweight bout. Norma Dumont taking on Chelsea Chandler, baby. That's what I'm talking about right now. Big Norm.
Does this mean you have action?
Do I have action? I think I've said it the last two episodes. I've been sitting on a Norma Dumont ticket for like 3 weeks now. Norma Dumont now, minus 140. Chandler, plus 120. I got in on Big Norm at plus money, plus 115. This is my Super Bowl, the final women's featherweight fight, maybe ever. And we need to go out with a bang. And who's going to give us that bang? Big Norm Dumont, baby, the immortal one. Yeah, I was surprised when they first dropped this line. That's obviously why I took it. I really think she's the better technical fighter pretty much anywhere this goes. I think she can mix in the takedowns. We saw Chandler taken down against Thorley Orenko, who is just not an impressive fighter to me at all. I think she can rely on the clinch. I think she's going to be the faster fighter too. I think she gets this done, man, and finishes my women's featherweight betting career on a high. Big Norm, the immortal.
I love that energy. If she's plus money, I'd be interested. I'm not going to take her as a favorite because I agree with everything you're saying. I think she's the vastly superior technical fighter or whatever, but I can just, as I was watching tape on these, I can just sort of see a fight unfolding where Chandler just, you know, kind of gets dinged up early on. Norma's, you know, using the sand of stuff and keeping range, fast hands and a lot of kicks. And then Chandler just sort of keeps coming and making it ugly and just throwing big bombs and just making this into a dirty, grimy sort of fight where she can succeed and Norma Dumont may struggle a little. So I wouldn't take her at the favorite money. I think I would like Dumont as an underdog, and she certainly will be my pick if we're just asking straight up who wins.
Shocked you're not going to have any action down on this. I mean, this is the stuff dreams are made of.
It's a historic event. I feel like I should have a bet on a historic event, but I'm not. I will say that I am looking at the over 2.5 in this as a parlay piece. It's currently -235 at DraftKings. 7 of Dumont's 9 wins by decision. She's been to six straight decisions inside the UFC. Chandler only has a handful of fights in her career, but Dumont's pretty tough cookie. I don't think that if Chandler can have success, I don't think it's going to be an early finish. It would be over the course of, 15 minutes, just piling up damage. So kind of looking at that over 2.5 as a parlay piece.
Did you take Norman Dumont by KO last time out against Carol Hosa? Was that the ChatGPT bet? Because she never
did take Norman Dumont.
She's never won by knockout. I mean, it's sitting right
there.
That
might be that actually might be right. And it's insane when you think about it, because the ChatGPT bet almost exclusively defaults to decisions. It almost is never picking finishes. So for it to pick Norman Dumont by finishes, it's quite a statement.
Plus a thousand.
I think you're right. I think I did.
Plus 1,000 by knockout right now for Big Norm to get her first KO in the UFC octagon and in her professional fighting career anyway. Cannot wait for that one. The people's main event, as they're saying. We'll keep it rolling. Lightweight bout.
Actually, I mean, we could say that that's for the vacant featherweight title too.
Yeah, why not? Now you're talking. I mean,
Norman fights this weekend, baby. Let's go.
I think Norman Dumont might be the best 145er in all of the UFC. We keep it rolling. Actual fun fight. Lightweight bout. Otman Azaitar taking on Francisco Prado. Very closely lined fight right now. Otman and Prado almost near evens. You can have Prado for -120. Otman at +100. I don't have a side on this one. This is leg one of my prop parlay. I actually mentioned it last week on the show. Under 2.5. The way these guys fight, they're going to come in aggressive. They're going to come in swinging. And I think someone's going to get knocked out if you just look at both the dudes' careers. Azaitar, 13 of his 14 fights ended under 2.5, 10 in the first round. Prado, 11 of his 12 under the 2.5, 8 in the first round. Just think these guys are going to come in here looking for violence, and someone is going to end up going out.
A couple of things to say on this one. Love the bet because I am taking this fight does not go to decision as a parlay piece, -275. I've got... cook myself up a little violence parlay.
Yeah.
And not to spoil it, it's with the very next fight on this, because looking at this card to me is where I say, man, lightweight, best division in the sport. These are two maybe top 50 guys in the world in our next two fights. Might have, four top 50, top 80 lightweights. And these fights absolutely rule. Azaitar Prado should be super fun. I still have some high hopes for Prado, long term. He's still only 21. And he came in on short notice against Jamie Mullarkey, who is a very, very good lightweight, was massively oversized against him in the cage. And, still at least gave a decent showing, even though he very clearly lost that fight. I think Azaitar, it could be tough. Prado could very, very well lose this fight. Azaitar is a very good offensive fighter. He has a lot of power, a lot of flash, a lot of hands, and these two dudes are just going to get in and chuck them up. I would say Prado has like a slight grappling advantage, but I don't really know how big it is because he's still he's still very unproven. So I'm just really excited to sort of see how this fight develops. That's why I didn't want to take either action, even though I think there's maybe a touch of value on Azaitar. So, but I'm like you. I think there's almost no chance this fight makes it to the card. So parlay piece.
Yeah, I would be surprised if we even saw the grappling here. I really do think they're just going to come in here and just box it up till someone goes out.
Just swing them, and it's going to be fun as hell, man. This and the next fight are actually going to be super, super fun.
But let's get right into it. Lightweight bout. Terrence McKinney taking on Nazim Sadikov right now. Sadikov, your favorite at -145. McKinney coming back at +125. Yeah, I think we have the same bet here. I'm just on the under 2.5, especially in this one, because it cuts off a lot of that juice. It's like minus 550 to not go to a decision, minus 360 under 2.5. So like you're getting almost 200 points there for 2.5 minutes. And honestly, I wouldn't even want to be holding the ticket. I'd be a mess if this one made it past the halfway point of the third round anyway. I don't really see a late finish happening. If you've watched Terrence McKinney fight, you kind of have an idea how this one's going to go. Doesn't matter who he fights. 18 professional bouts, 18 ending under the 2.5, 15 ending in the first round. We talk about agents of chaos. Terrence McKinney might just be the agent of chaos. He's definitely, if you had to do a Fantastic Four, a Mount Rushmore of agents of chaos, Terrence McKinney and Charles Oliveira are definitely 1 and 2 that I'm starting the mountain with.
Dude, he gets it. Terrence McKinney is probably never going to be a champion, and that's fine because he understands the entertainment business. He is giving you your money's worth every time out. This is a man who doesn't use the judges, doesn't need them, doesn't want them. Take the night off, Cecil Peoples. You are not necessary when this prelim opens. And Sadikov also, frankly, no slouch as a finisher. I mean, the dude has one decision in his career. So he is also out there getting after it. I think this fight is going to be a barn burner. Wouldn't shock me at all if McKinney actually was able to get this done. I know he's a slight underdog. Again, kind of feel like there might be even a touch of value on him because we have seen Sadikov get hit before. McKinney certainly starts very fast, but can he finish him? Sometimes McKinney has. We saw Drew Dober got hit and hurt, and McKinney couldn't put him down. It's all just sort of up in the air, you know. Ishmael Bonfim. That's McKinney is just. It's hard to feel confident betting on him ever, but it's incredibly good. I can feel incredibly confident betting on him to not make 2.5. You were absolutely correct. Violence parlay is the doesn't go to decision in the Izatar Prado and the under 2.5 in this one. That just a little simple two-legger, keeping it real easy, real clean. Yeah. Love
me
it.
Me too. Me too. I actually really do love it. It's my biggest bet of the weekend for sure. McKinney inside the distance. Like if you're going to take McKinney, you might as well just take him inside the distance. You get it from plus 124 all the way up to plus 160. Plus, bit of breaking news from yesterday. Terrence McKinney tweeted, and I quote, "They got me as an underdog, so if you want to make some money, throw some bucks down on Saturday." Just saying.
Love the confidence.
Just saying.
Love the confidence from Terrence McKinney. Let me look at how successful he has been as a betting underdog.
Round one?
I mean, that's
only plus 240. It's only
plus 240. That can't be a super high number, but it would be great. McKinney as an underdog. He had to have been an underdog against Frivola. Not even that big of an underdog against Frivola, actually. Only plus 175. He's been a favorite all the other fights in the UFC, so. But 1-0 as an underdog.
Is he going to submit him or is he going to knock him out if he wins?
That's I assume that if he wins, it's a KO. Sadikov keeps his left hand up very high, but certainly drops his lead hand a lot. He kind of keeps that low shoulder rolly style, his arms moving a lot. And Evan Elder, was that that's who Sadikov fought, right? Evan Elder? Evan Elder buzzed him pretty early on in that fight just because Sadikov got a little lazy. And so I think if McKinney does it, it's going to be plunking him in the face and then following up with, you know, those knees, those elbows.
Looking forward to it. Might play something fancy on like a Terrence McKinney round one KO or something if I can get a
I mean, that's just a fun bet.
Yeah, there you're just getting the exacta. I'll wait for all the other books.
Love the exacto bets.
And we'll see what we can do. Let's keep it rolling. My guy, Jack Della Maddalena, back on the card in a welterweight bout against Basil Hafez. Right now, Tapology says we got 7 main card fights. I don't think it really makes a difference. It's all just going to be on ESPN+. Short notice, I watched a couple of Hafez fights. I really don't have much interest in betting this just because the line is juiced out right now. Wherever he's available, JDM is like a minus 600. Having to cut weight twice in a week, don't necessarily love that. Hafez, he does seem to have a grappling game as well. Half his wins are coming by submission. But obviously, when you're talking about the level of competition, it's not fully there. Something I do see a lot of people going back to is the Jeremiah Wells draw split decision back in 2017. I don't know. I think I'm just going to sit back and watch this one. The lines, I think the under 1.5 is at like minus 200 also. Minus 205, yeah. Numbers are just too juiced for me. It's just kind of a weird fight. I'm obviously cheering for JDM, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so I got a little stat for you, Connor. I think it's important. It's a JDM stat. I don't know if you know this. He's fought four times in the UFC.
Yeah, didn't
all
know
four
that.
Of them have been first round finishes.
Yes, also knew that.
Now the submission for Brandy Brown that threw us for a loop there, but I think that was just, you know, he was just testing it out, wanted to see how it felt, you know, strut around. We're gonna get back to knock out Don Giacomo, and whenever I have an opportunity, I'll be placing a bet on a JDM round one KO. Not a big one. Sure, the price won't be super good, but I just want to have some fun. And rooting for JDM to get another first round finish, pretty damn fun.
It's fun. It's fun. It's fun. That's what I'm going to be cheering for.
It's been very lucrative lately. So.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's what I'm going to be cheering for. Typically with JDM, you're looking to play unders. You're looking to play knockout props.
Plus, this man's mad, Connor. This man's mad. He had the Sean Brady fight, this massive fight that's going to elevate him, start making a run up the rankings, taken away, short notice replacement. Thank God that they caught that before, like, JDM is on the wrong side of something, like, truly tragic happening. Drops off, says, can't fight at 290, can't take part in the best card in recent memory. He's going to take out all of that anger, all of that frustration, all of those bad feelings on Basil Hafiz, and we're just going to be out of here. So first round,
love
JDM,
it.
Let's go.
Love it, love it, love it. Let's keep it rolling to the prelims. Women's bantamweight bout, Ashley Evans-Smith taking on Aylin Perez. I have no real interest in betting this fight. Looks like Perez is a lot of money coming in. She's now up to minus 190. Ashley Evans-Smith, AES, as her diehard fans call her, plus 160. I got nothing here.
No. No one should have anything here. The AES stands out there. I love you. Love your passion, your energy, but... You know, she hasn't fought in 3 years. Even when she was fighting, she was not winning. four of her last five are L's. She hadn't fought in 3 years. And she hadn't fought in 3 years because she got popped by USADA. And so if you can't win when you're taking illegal substances, and now theoretically you're not taking them, it doesn't bode well. I don't think Aylin Perez is very good either, but... probably good enough to win this, but certainly this is not the quality of fight that I should be putting money behind.
Yeah, I'm out on that. Let's keep it rolling. Men's flyweight bout, Tyson Nam, our guy, taking on Azat Maxim, a debutant who is 16-0 from Kazakhstan. His nickname, actually, fittingly enough, Kazakh. So it works out there.
I love that, like, half the Kazakhstan fighters who make it to the UFC, their nickname is just Kazakh or some variation on Kazakh.
That's how you should get to know him. But Maxim right now, minus 410. Nam coming back, plus 310. I took the under earlier in this week. I grabbed it plus 120, and I very much like that because Tyson Nam, one, it's a flyweight under. There were rumors they were back. Then they weren't. Then they lost two more times before UFC 290 was over. And Tyson Nam's been good to us on cashing these things, man. Four of his last five fights. He's got power. And I'm not completely sold on Maxim being able to get the takedowns here. And at that point, I think it's going to become a striking match. And Tyson Nam, four of his last five fights. I think he can finish Azat, but on the flip side, if Azat is the real deal, 16-0, but he didn't really start fighting guys with any sort of experience until like his ninth fight. I mean, if he is the real deal, 12 of his 16 fights, he's won by finish. So I think the finish is live for him as well. Flyweight unders. maybe back for this one fight.
You know, I hope they are back. I will not be partaking. I didn't do it, and I can't quite get myself over the line here, but I'm somewhat interested in a Tyson Nam underdog shot here for sort of the reasons you said. The price is very large, and the big one for me is, watched a little bit of Maxim. I'm interested to see how he comes along. I mean, 16-0, you got to stand up and take notice. Doesn't matter if you're fighting barbers or whatever. 16 is just a lot of a win streak in professional mixed martial arts, but a lot of those are not over real opposition. It's a gaudy record, and I want to see what happens under the bright lights under a veteran guy. So we were talking about off air, it appears I'm not a tough guy. You are you and AK Lee on the tough hang. It appears that Conor McGregor and his team of not veterans are struggling against veterans, and Tyson Nam, the man is a veteran. So this is a big line.
I don't mind that at all, dude. I really don't. With a guy that's coming in who, yes, he's 16-0, but what has been the level of competition? How is he going to react to a guy like Tyson Nam? There's just no telling, and he's a -410. One of two ways. Could be like, man, he was the most solid parlay piece of the week, or it could be like, he will not be -410 for a good while.
Yeah, I may pull the trigger on it as we get closer, but just not quite there. So, but that's, I would definitely not be parlaying Maxim. Prove it to me, man. Got to get proven.
Yeah, I feel that. Let's keep it rolling right along. Lightweight bout, another one for you. We got a couple more before we're out of here. Carl Deaton III taking on Alex Munoz right now. You can have Alex Munoz as the favorite at -150. Carl Deaton coming back at +130. So I'm on Alex Munoz. I took him at -135. Obviously, the main concern here is the layoff. Hasn't fought in a couple years. But from looking
at... big layoffs on this card.
Yeah. But I actually read somewhere that we're going to have to wait like 8 fights into the card before we're going to see anyone coming off of a UFC win, which is pretty crazy.
That's tough.
But I went deep diving on his Instagram, and obviously that's not really concrete evidence, but it looks like he's taking this time to make the necessary improvements. I don't think he's been away for, just doing nothing, and now he's just trying to have a little money grab here. So I think he has made the improvements. And then when you just come down to breaking down the actual fight, I just think he is the better fighter than Carl Deaton. And I think what he's going to try to do, his strength, trying to get this to the mat and wrestle him and grind on him, is where Carl Deaton sort of struggles. He's been taken down. He's doesn't really have great takedown defense, period. Even on the feet, I think Munoz can have success there as well. I think the reason we're getting this line, we're coming off back-to-back losses, but putting that into context, and against pretty tough guys in Nasrat and Pena, I think this is a pretty decent size step down in competition, and then obviously the layoff goes into that. So obviously there's a world where Munoz comes out here and he hasn't made any improvements, and he struggles, and he can't get the takedowns, and he kind of looks lost on the feet, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's going to come in ready, and he's going to be able to get those takedowns and win the fight.
Yeah, I agree fully. I'm just not going to bet. We've talked about it recently, trying to take fewer bets, particularly on prelim level fighters, stuff like that. And I'm just not going to do it on Munoz here. But I think the wrestling is key, and I think it should give him a clear path. And Carl Deaton can be a fun fighter, but he's got some pretty severe limitations in that regard. So I think your bet looks safe to me.
We'll see what happens. We will see what happens. We roll on to another lightweight bout. Gennaro Valdez taking on Evan Elder. Evan Elder, the big favorite at this point. You can have him for -320. Valdez coming back +235. I used Elder as a parlay piece, actually, with the KSW card, Phil DeFreeze.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah, shout out. I still think he's got decent potential. He's only 26. He came in on short notice against Preston Parsons, obviously just outsized there, and got a pretty gnarly cut against Nazim after winning the first two rounds in that one. I think he can use the kicks. I think he can mix in the takedowns and have success here just with an all-around game plan. Valdez, he's not the most technical. He is hittable. He can get taken down. But obviously he does carry power and he does have a nice chin. But for the reasons that I mentioned earlier, I think Elder gets it done.
Yeah, I don't have a strong thoughts on this. In general, I would assume that Valdez is going to lose, but I mean, you look at his losses, they have really come to very good competition. Aton Levy, Matt Frivola. I mean, those are both
sure
very, very respectable dudes. And that's no disrespect to Nazim Sadikov or Preston Parsons, you know, guys who are fine, but level of comp favors Valdez, even though that, but also can't bet Valdez. I mean, Mexico just caught it in the teeth last weekend. So
yeah,
well, maybe he can't be betting the Mexican surgeons at this moment.
Maybe Rayadito is here to bounce it back for him. I also have to say the Matt Frivola fight, if you go back and watch that, I mean, it was, he got knocked down like six times before finally getting knocked out in like a 3 minute span.
Matt Frivola is such an interesting fighter. Like, yes. It's kind of weird that Terrence McKinney blew his doors off, given that, you know, where he's gone on to be and that performance against Drew Dober. Just hell of a fighter. I love
that. I think you could make the argument that he just got caught against Terrence McKinney.
I mean, well, definitely it was 7 second KO. So absolutely.
Yeah, like he just got caught.
That's just the game. And that's the thing why I say lightweight's the best. Cause like Matt Frivola is a top 15, 20 guy and Terrence McKinney came in and knocked him out very, very quickly. Happen anywhere. Like Gennaro Valdez could just beat Evan Elder senseless.
Oh, yeah.
And could randomly like tomorrow just decide, oh, I'm going to give some top 25 dude the fight of his life. It's just a shark tank, man.
I'm going to end up having like six or seven bets this weekend, and I wouldn't be surprised if I lost all of them. That's the level this card is at.
Love that confidence from you.
What do you want me to say, man? I'm betting on Norman Dumont.
Losing confidence.
I'm betting on Norman Dumont and Alex Munoz coming off a 2-year layoff. Like, what do you want me to do? Sit here and be like, these are locks. There's no way this could go wrong. Speaking of locks, let's get into the next fight. Strawweight bout, Estela Nunez taking on Victoria Dudakova. And Victoria is your favorite coming in at -210. Estela Nunez coming back at +180. I'm on Estela Nunez. I took her at +240.
Where do you go?
I mean, it's similar to the Haragi fight from last week. I mean, Dudakova, yeah, like she could end up being a pretty decent prospect, but she's 24. Her game is fairly one-dimensional, and she's going up against Estela Nunez, who, yeah, she's 6-4, and she's lost, I think, three straight. But she's going to be more experienced there. She's been in the octagon on several occasions. She's pretty much fighting for her job. Like, she has to understand that. Like, if she loses, it's over. And I think she's going to have the much better striking. If this does not immediately go to the mat, I think Estela Nunez is going to be as live as they come. And as long as it stays standing, I think she'll remain live. Now, her cardio can wane. But for that first half of the fight, I think she's as live as possible for either a finish or to potentially bank the first two rounds. So 24 years old, making her UFC debut. And at the time that I took this, she was like -280. I just disagreed with the line and I threw a half unit on Estela Nunez.
I love Underdog Connor. Underdog Connor is the most fun.
Actually, four of my five plays this weekend are plus
money. I'm noticing a little bit of thing here. Just cannot join you on this. I'll be clear. I will not be betting on Dudakova for all the reasons you basically said, like as a favorite, why would I put this price on her? But if this does stay standing, sure, I think Nunes has a chance, but she is not a very good defensive wrestler. And look, I'm this is probably the optimist in me. It's probably dumb. Kind of think Dudikova might actually be like a real legit prospect. Like maybe somebody who's fun and new, undefeated as a pro and amateur, like a fairly extensive amateur career, particularly as far as MMA goes. Love a lot of the signs here. Has looked good. I think she can, and Estela Nunes feels like the exact right matchup. Like, all right, you can't really defensively wrestle Dudikova. Just tackle her, tap her out, and let's start building something. So I love that you're on an underdog. I will not be joining you.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man. I mean, it's a fight that, in my opinion, it's dog or pass. I just, I don't know. There's going to be some people parlaying up Dudikova this weekend. And, like, it could look very smart in retrospect.
It's never smart to parlay with debutantes unless the debutante's like Bo Nickel.
Or it could be, you know, a 24-year-old fighter, 6-0, making her debut, who has next.
She is not Bo Nickel. Yeah. She is not Bo Nickel.
All right, that's all my bets. Two more fights to go. Do you have anything on Austin Lingo Costa?
I have nothing on Austin Lingo Costa. I do have one on the opener.
Tucker Lutz versus Melsik Bogdasarian.
What do you got
for me?
So remember earlier when I said, if you guys think that's the dumbest bet that I've made on this card, you are absolutely incorrect. Welcome to the dumbest bet I've made on this card. I will be betting on Tucker Lutz at a spectacular underdog price of +140. And Connor, I could give you the full, you know, breakdown of the techniques and all that, but that would be a lie. I'm betting on him for one reason and one reason only, and it's the best of all reasons. Melsik Bagdasarian, man's nickname is the Gun. Melsik the Gun Bagdasarian. You know what Tucker Lutz's nickname is? Top Gun. I have just a gun, or I have the Top Gun.
Wow.
The best of the guns. I have to take the Top Gun over just any old other gun. So I'll be taking Tucker Lutz at this underdog price, and I will explain nothing further about my decision making.
Now tell me, is it Tucker Top Gun Lutz, or is it Top Gun Tucker Lutz?
You know, I didn't actually go back and look at his intros, which maybe I should have. I'm assuming it's Tucker Top Gun Lutz, because so very few MMA fighters go with the pre-nickname. You know, they always just do the sandwich method, but it would be a lot cooler if it was Top Gun Tucker Lutz.
I think Top Gun Tucker Lutz is the way to go. Yeah, Melsik,
much better.
The Gun Bagdasarian.
He's a gun.
Yeah, I can't blame you for that, man. I like that, and that'll do it. My bets, Alex Munoz, Estela Nunez, +240, Duraev, +135, Nam Maxim, under 2.5, +120, Norman Dumont, +115, parlayed up McKinney, Sadikov, under 2.5 with the Azater, Azaitar, Prado, under 2.5, and then I did Evan Elder and Phil DeFries over in KSW. And I think I might add, depending on the line, Terrence McKinney, round 1.5.
I didn't even look at KSW. I might have to look at Darko Stazic or something, figure it out. Yeah.
They mailed this one.
It'll be fun. My bet's Holly Holm. I've got the Harris Parisian over 1.5. I'm going to take a flyer on Walt Harris by KO round 1. JDM by round 1 KO. I don't know what that price is going to be, but whatever it is. Tucker Lutz, as we just discussed. I think I am going to throw a flyer on Tyson Nam just because +310 is a big old number. Might as well take a shot. And then I finally put in my parlay as we were talking here. I've got Azatar Prado does not go the distance, -275. McKinney Sadikov under 2.5, -360. And I just decided YOLO. I'm going to throw in JDM as a parlay piece because it brings me to a +105 parlay instead of, you know, like a payout $70 or whatever on a hundo. So that's where we're at. Shortest episode ever.
I hope so, because that was that UFC Apex 77. Next week, UFC London. Not a great card, but it's in London, so it's cooler, and Tom Aspinall's back, and that's that. And we'll see you then.
See you then. Love you guys.
Thank you.
listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.